Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Oh, welcome to Drinking Bros, kids. Man, Friday afternoon, having some drinks. At least I am. Am I a horrible human that it's just me drinking?
Recovering. You know, burnt guys love water. We need water.
Is that true?
You got to keep drinking water.
All the time, right? All the time.
Those hot spots.
If you're on audio and not watching on video, this burnt guy is Bobby Henline. Welcome to the show, buddy.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me here.
Yeah. Hell yeah, man. Funny story. So one of our mutual good friends, which you didn't know, is one of my best friends from college. Yeah. Big shot movie producer, had called me and said, "Hey man, I met the most fascinating guy. I'm dying to tell his life story in a movie one day. His name is Bobby Henline. You should look him up and get a hold of him, and he would be perfect on the show." When I looked you up, I was like, "Oh fuck, I know him. I met him before. Yeah, we actually met, I think, at the Range 15 premiere. Yeah." And I was like, "I fucking know Bobby." I was like, "Give me his number. I'd love to have him on the show." And I hit you up, and I was like, "Next time you're in Wilmington, stop by, pop on down to the Drinking Bro Studios, and we'll have you on." So thanks for being here, man.
Yeah, here I am.
What are you in town for?
I actually have a show tomorrow night.
No shit.
Yeah, by the time this airs, it'll be over. You missed it.
Yeah, it's gone. It's gone, right?
It's gone.
You're doing stand-up.
Yeah, I'm doing stand-up comedy. So I got a show tomorrow night with another wounded vet, Joe Cashnow, who's an Army scout, lost his leg. And then with Skippy. I don't know if you guys remember Family Ties. You guys both look old enough for Family Ties.
Yeah. Fucking Skippy from Family Ties?
Yeah, Mark Price. So it's Skippy and the Comedy Warriors. So we're doing a show here tomorrow night.
That is fucking funny, man. Yeah. Skippy.
I never watched that show, but...
red-haired. He's the red-haired
Mark
guy.
Mark Price was a good point guard for a while.
For the Cleveland Cavaliers, yeah. He was.
You're a Cleveland fan, right?
The Indians.
Just the Indians.
Indians only.
Baseball.
That, you know, it's funny thing about Cleveland fans. They're either diehard Browns or Indians. I never hear like, "Oh man, I'm a real big Cavs fan."
It's funny. I pick a team. Like, I grew up in California.
Yeah.
But I go with the Steelers. Mm-hmm. I go with the Indians. I used to like the Dodgers because of Steve Garvey.
Ah, Garvey was the badass.
Steve Garvey had those big forearms. I always had big, weird forearms. So
yeah.
I was always number six. I wanted to be like Steve Garvey.
Yeah. He was a badass too.
Yeah.
He pounded off a lot. That's where he got those forearms from. Yeah.
He had Popeye like forearms.
Yeah. He did it from batting all the time. I did it from long deployments.
Yeah. It's the same. It's essentially the same thing.
Same thing.
I built him up in Desert Storm. That's what it was.
Yeah, all you guys, dude. That's the masturbation techniques are really, I would say the American troops are the best in the world.
I mean, if you're jerking off six times a day, you got to spice it up a little bit. Yeah,
130 degrees weather in a porta potty, you got to get out of there quick for your guy. Yeah.
What do you guys use for lube on something like that?
Mm-mm. You're sweating. You don't need lube.
Yeah.
Oh, you just go. You're
good
to go.
Take that from under cheese and bring it on up.
Oh.
Can't co-sign on that one.
The look on your face when he said that, Dan, was...
I'm all set on that one.
That's a battle rattle. Mm-mm.
That's a gift that will last for years and years and years.
Self-lubricated.
Well, where are you from originally?
I actually grew up in the Bay Area in San Jose, California. In that area. Yeah.
I lived in Oakland for a while.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I drove trucks all over there. I was a Navy brat and stepdad stationed at Moffett Field.
Are you super liberal?
No.
I'm kidding.
I'm glad I left. Obviously, yeah, right? I left and I like to claim Texas now, you know?
Yeah, of course.
I lived there in San Antonio the last 11 years before I moved to North Carolina and love Texas. You know, it's always scary to tell people, where are you really from?
Yeah.
California.
Exactly. Especially like, the Bay Area. Right? People are shitting in the streets and...
Yeah, it's all my fault that the economy's bad. You know?
Well, everybody assumes, man, if you're pro 2A, you know,
yeah,
that you're like, there's no way you would live there. And it's just like, well, I didn't have a choice.
It's got the spots.
Yeah. How long did you live in the Bay Area?
I grew up there pretty much kindergarten through high school. I joined Army at 17 out of San Jose there and went off to Desert Storm.
Yeah.
And 19 years old, I was a divorced alcoholic war veteran.
At 19?
Yeah, which most guys today understand that too, with the war going on, 20 years now?
Yeah, of course.
So.
Of course. Would you get married at 18 then?
And I got married at 17 because my parents signed for me to go in the Army at 17, so then I'm a legal adult. I got married the day before I graduated basic training.
No way.
They let you do that. They go off post. You get married at a bank out in Missouri at Fort Leonard Wood. And then,
are you kidding?
Yeah, stay in a hotel, and the next day you graduate basic training, and then they ship you off to school and ship your new wife home.
Wow. Who is the girl?
We met at, I was a DJ at the roller skating rink. I had the cool mullet.
You were yeah. DJ? Dude, I worked at a fucking roller rink too, man.
It's a badass job. I mean, if you want to get laid in high school.
I wasn't in high school.
You look like this.
This was like 2 weeks ago.
Right? Oh, yeah. No. It was freshman year in college. It was close, but
trying to make extra
money.
Valentine's Day money. So
I was not a cool DJ, though. I was a fucking skate referee.
You want a little whistle? Stop.
That's exactly what it was. Yeah. But I didn't realize how hard the job was because you'd skate for 8 hours straight and then whistle at kids and tell them to sit out and all that shit and like the blisters and everything that came with it. I like that I'm saying it to a burn victim,
yeah,
obviously.
The blisters.
But,
horrible.
Yeah. Terrible. But that job was brutal. And I always looked at the DJ and I was like, man, because the DJs were always getting pussy.
Yeah. And it was great.
We were sweaty, wearing those stinky ass jerseys.
Like, what song
and
you want to hear? Yeah. All right. Yeah, I got a six pack of beer. We'll go to the park after skating. That's how you did it.
Those skate DJs always got fucking pussy. So you met her at the rink?
Yeah, I met her at the rink. She was actually going to a continuation school, you know, where they go once a week to get a bunch of homework.
Yeah.
And they go home and do it and turn them in. So I actually signed off that she was at the skating rink so she'd get PE credit.
Really? Man.
This is the woman of my dreams. I should join the Army and marry her.
Some low-level organized crime going on.
Yeah. So at 17, your parents thought it was all right. Her parents thought it was all right. And you guys were good?
Yeah. The route we were going, they knew it was probably the best thing for us.
Really?
They might as well make each other miserable so two other people.
That's so fucking funny, man. How long did it last?
It's right after Desert Storm.
Except what?
So that was 89.
Okay.
I joined Army in 89 and I got out in 92. So, yeah, I got back from Desert Storm in 91. Yeah, that was it.
You're looking at
typical. I mean, like today, all the time. So, you're young. You shouldn't get married that young. Yeah. Military life's hard enough as it is with couples. So, I got back, found out she was sleeping with everybody else. I'm like, okay, I'm done with you.
Really?
Yeah.
Shit. That sucks.
I didn't really blame her, though. I mean, it upset me at the time, of course. It's like, but it's like, fuck it. What am I going to do?
Yeah, you were overseas.
And I know we were dumb. You know, it comes along. You learn. Like, you look back. Yeah. We stayed friends over the years.
Oh, yeah. That was my next question. So you guys are
still
friends?
Yeah. So we hadn't seen each other for years. And it was, 2012?
Uh-huh.
And I ran into her. She's in Canada, in Toronto.
Really?
So I'm in Toronto at a film festival with Comedy Warriors. And we just happened to, she's like, hey, I live in Toronto now. So she came out and saw the movie. We hung out. I'm like, God, if you were this funny back then. But apparently she likes women now, so that's what I did to her.
Well, did you give it a shot? Did you give it one last shot?
No.
Damn.
I didn't have the right parts. She didn't like those parts anymore.
There are a number of people who have overcome that particular hurdle. For example.
Yeah.
One of them is a former Olympic gold medalist.
Yes.
Goddamn right.
Now
that's what Wheaties will do to you.
Is not a man, apparently.
Yeah, Bruce Jenner.
Yeah.
Talking about Bruce. I still call him Bruce. I'm not going to go the Caitlin route. Like, it's he is and always will be Bruce Jenner to me.
Right.
Yeah. And I still think of him as a champion. I put a picture of him above my bed, and I have sex with my wife looking at him. You know? I don't think about Caitlin. I really want to preface this.
You picture him as Bruce.
Just as Bruce is a champion.
There was the champion thing. Did you feel like a champion?
If Caitlyn, Caitlyn Jenner did Hustler, would you look?
Yes. Oh, that, I was supposed to hesitate on that?
Man, dude, that was a real quick answer.
Like, I want to know.
I would be curious.
Yep. I would. There's no question.
How are you not curious?
That you would look.
Yes. I would look, but I couldn't get off to it.
No, that's not the point.
Okay.
I'm not saying I couldn't.
Like, well, yeah.
I don't know. I have to see it first.
Jerked off in a fucking porta shitter that gets emptied on Wednesday. That now was on Wednesday, the morning of. So, you know, it's.
You ever have to shake one of them down because they're too full? So you have to just shake it.
Sometimes
kinda,
you got to do the Haji squat over the top of the bowl.
Leave
there.
Your footprints up there.
Yeah. Oof. It has the stink in there, though.
It's the worst thing you've ever smelled in your life.
God damn it.
It's horrible. I mean, how's this thing?
Imagine that, and then your only picture is Caitlyn Jenner post-op.
You're not exactly setting up an optimal jerking off situation. But if I was super bored,
set the mood.
This is the 11th fucking pound off session of the day, then maybe that's how far I got to go. I don't know. You don't know until you get there, man, to be honest. I don't know what to tell you. Like, hey, how do you get across that bridge? You'll see. You'll see, dude. Just go up to it and look at where the fucking footsteps are. That's where you go.
Follow the footsteps.
Yeah, but in this case, the footsteps are the terrible places that your brain go.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. If you had the fucking picture of Caitlin's pocket, you know, that would be... That's as worst like as I can think of right now.
You just doesn't he sell that or she sell that? Like, that's a great item.
Dan, it's funny you bring that up. Dan and I have had this discussion numerous times. I would keep
so
it in a jar.
Yeah.
I would keep it in a jar.
Sell the dick and balls, mean?
Yeah.
Or sell pictures? What were you talking about?
Oh, I thought making a pocket pussy out of the new one.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
that's a good marketing.
Maybe
you could have Caitlin.
Fuck. That's a great one,
I'm sure there's a comment. You can make it the Wheaties edition.
Yeah.
Hang a gold medal around that thing.
The Champions edition.
Free toy in the box of cereal.
It would definitely, that'd be the first time you could buy the genitals of an Olympian.
I think Lance Armstrong... But he was in the Olympics.
He was in the Olympics.
He wasn't?
No, dude. No,
but they had biking for one or two sessions, remember?
I don't know. Maybe he did, but...
Yeah.
Speaking of Caitlin, I know what you guys left this lip gloss or stuff for this.
Yeah. Ladies, that's drinking broettes.
Broettes, yeah. You didn't want to go drinking broads? They didn't like that one?
No, they didn't. They were drinking hoes, drinking bitches. We pitched a lot of things, and none of those stuck. But you were in Desert Storm. Like, you were OG...
Yes, I'm
old. You're old as shit is what he's right. Politely
trying
to say.
Don't look that old.
It's all
that's why I'm asking.
Plastic surgery that makes him look younger.
I think he might be getting a little carried away with the plastic surgery at this point. Just dial it back a little bit.
Are you getting burned out on these jokes already?
Nailed it. This is going to be
a groaner.
This is going to be a one-upper of plastic surgery jokes. I like it.
I'll be 49 this year in September.
Fuck, man.
I just go the next year when January hits. Just so I don't forget my age.
Yeah.
Yeah.
January hits, I'm the new age. I just say that all year. I'm 49.
That's funny, man. You definitely don't look it. What is that where your injuries happened?
No, I came back from Desert Storm, actually. Got out for 10 years. I was
Holy
out of the
shit.
Army for 10 years. I worked on the railroad. I drove trucks. I worked at a radio station. I was a Fleetwood Mac tribute band roadie. And
really?
To make a buck, yeah.
What was the name of the Fleetwood Mac tribute
Rumors.
Band? Rumors. It's always something clever like that.
Yeah, yeah.
We were just in Vegas, and the posters for the Prince one was up everywhere, and it was Purple Rain, REIGN, and I was just like, and the guy looked nothing like Prince, and I was
That's cringy. Speaking of railroads.
Yeah.
What's the most famous song about railroads?
I've been working on the railroads all the
time. Why is it
in
English?
Huh?
Why is it in English?
You think it should be in Chinese?
Yes. We did not build this bitch.
No.
I've always wondered about that, and I feel like we're doing a disservice to the Chinese.
There was a mixture. So
well, there were Chinese, and there were also the
Irish.
Black Americans were working on that, too.
Yeah, yeah, and a lot of Irish. It's true.
Everybody knows the Chinese.
Yeah, they got all the credit for it.
Yeah.
Back in the day. But I think I watched that show, Hell on Wheels.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. Yeah, I just watched that.
And it was all like powerful white dudes. And then like they kind of kept the Asians in the background. I was like, yeah, keep working. And it was fine. None of them had like any speaking lines and shit like that. Like,
that's the thing.
Well, they eventually bring them in.
Asians, yeah. Asians never get on camera time in American Hollywood movies.
Well, ever. They are now since Asia owns Hollywood.
Kind of.
Yeah.
What was the Asian superhero in fucking the Marvel movies?
There isn't one, is there? No.
Whoop.
But Parasite won everything.
Because they don't give a shit in China.
Yeah.
About nationality or any of that stuff. They want to be entertained.
It's true. And they just want action. And then they want
anime
to control the thoughts and
feelings. That's why you can make a movie, The Great Wall, and starring Matt Damon.
Exactly. The white savior who saved China, apparently.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Tom Cruise saved Japan, so Matt Damon had to do something.
Yeah. Something.
For the resume.
He had to do something. Why'd you get back in after 10 years?
9/11.
Ah. So it seems to be the continuous.
You were involved in 9/11? Is that what you're saying?
He's like, yeah, I got back in to fucking blow them buildings up.
I came back in. I had to do something. That seems to be the continuous theme that always pops up on this show.
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of prior service. When I went back in, I was back in basic. I do back to basic because I was out so long. Mm-hmm. So I was back October 31st off to basic training.
Halloween.
Yep, that very next month.
That's crazy. What's it? I don't think we've ever had anybody who went back to basic training. What's that like?
A lot easier the second time. I mean, the first time, obviously, physically it was easier, but mentally it was tougher.
Yeah.
This time around, I mean, it's mentally, you're buddies with the drill sergeants, but physically at 30 years old, it takes a toll on your body.
Mm. I bet, man. And is there any resentment? Like, do you look at the kids that were in with you and you were like, hey, man, get your fucking shit together. Like, it's fine.
No, you try to talk to them. Some will come up to you and ask you advice since they know you've been through it. There was... five of us in my platoon that had been through basic training before. Mm. This prior service was coming back like crazy. We were on holdover for a while because there are so many prior service wanting to come back in.
I would be giving them the worst advice.
No, because they're still doing the mass punishment, so we still got to pay for it.
Still, it's worth it, man, to be honest. Make it as tough as... because you know mass punishment, it is what it is. It goes on until it stops and then it's over.
It's over. You just got to deal.
But when you're a fucking 17, 18 years old, it seems like that's going to last forever. You're like your
brain. It's in their head.
Yeah,
so
they're fucking dumb. So I would be doing shit all the time. I would be fucking the class over all the time.
So glad you weren't with me.
Because I don't mind doing PT. So it's like, let's do it.
That
was my attitude when we're getting fucking smoked and shit and basically I'm like, all right, fine, let's fucking do this, I guess.
False motivation, still motivation.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't even motivated. I just didn't care. Like, all right, fine, I'm going to do push-ups until I can't do them anymore. And then what's he going to do to me? Kick the shit out? No, he's not going to fight me. So how bad could this really get?
That's funny.
But I was 24 when I went through.
Okay.
So I was a little older. I knew the world. I didn't.
Right. You're in that nice in between. Yeah. Old enough to know a little bit more about life, but still young enough your body can handle it.
That was fun.
Yeah.
But I know even now, as out of shape as I am compared to then, I would fucking raise all sorts of
just
hell.
For the mental game.
Holy shit.
That's all
holy
it is,
shit.
Right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So at 30, you go back, and then when do you get deployed?
2003.
2003, okay.
Yeah. So 2001, I went back in. They didn't ship me. A couple of guys got to go to Afghanistan. They waited and to finally ship me out when they went to Iraq.
Gotcha.
So I did. I was at 82nd Airborne. Then I did Desert Storm with 1st Cav. 2003, I was at 82nd Airborne. We did a year. I come back from that. I'm home 10 months. During that 10 months, I moved bases. I go to Fort Carson, Colorado. I'm there 3 months. We deploy again 2005 with 3rd ACR for another 13 months. Come back from that. And I got to go to school and go back to Fort Bragg, 82nd Airborne, deployed with them. I was out there 3.5 weeks. That was in 2007 now. So I'm on my fourth deployment when I got hit by the roadside bomb.
Wait, when in 2007?
I got hit April 7th, 2007. So they went out in August.
So which unit were you
573rd?
With? 573rd. So I was with 2325. We were in Sauter City then.
Okay.
We got there in January of 07, and Jared, Taylor, Derek White, we were all there together.
Oh, wow.
Right down the street from you guys.
Yeah, because they went over in July. Mm-hmm. I had just got there, so I still had dwell time from the last deployment. So
July of 2006, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so when I finally went over in March, and in April got hit, 3.5 weeks later, we were actually helping out 1st Cav in Bakuba, or Bakuba.
Bakuba.
Yeah.
Baklava is how everybody in the military said it back then, but bakuva is how you actually say it. It's like orientate. It's not a word, guy. Hey, could you orientate yourself this way? No, because it's not a word. You start using words that are real, and I'll start doing actions that are real, my man.
How long were you in 325?
For 5 years.
So you were there? With,
05 to 10.
So I was with them in 2003.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, in the initial invasion, I was a 782nd, the main support. I'm a driver. So I was doing the whole ramp up from Kuwait all the way up to Iraq. Baghdad with them. I built Fob Falcon in South Baghdad.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a small world.
It is,
yeah. It is, yeah. And if it's funny, everybody we have on the show who served during that time, I feel like it's like a Kevin Bacon sitch, like a 6 degrees. Like either you know him, Jared knows him, or
Derek or somebody.
Derek or
somebody. Well, I mean, so Crispy Omar Villa was in 126 just south of us.
Yeah.
I think they showed up a couple months after we did. And Jared left as RJ TAC to go be theirs for a while right after Omar got blown up, I think. So it was like a couple of weeks in between that situation.
Yeah,
so
Omar and I were in the hospital together at the same time. Yep.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like 2007
he got blown up a little bit after you, right?
Yeah.
Like a couple months maybe, yeah, something like that. Because I think Jared left us in May. It was either April, late April or May, and he went to 126 with those guys. And it was right after Omar got blown up, I think. I don't remember.
Yeah, it's a lot of foggy times.
Yeah,
I'm sure. Do you remember the circumstances and the day that...
No, the only thing I remember was having a cup of coffee that morning. We were about to roll out the gate. I was taking lead. We had to wait for Captain Grassbaugh. He was an S4 guy coming out to check all the supply routes. So he wanted to go out that day, and I remember waiting for him. That's the only reason when I knew I was the only survivor out of the vehicle. So I knew when the other four guys died and then Captain Grassbaugh was with us, like, okay, I could put together that day that I went and had an extra cup of coffee at the coffee bean waiting for him to get out to the convoy so we can roll out. That's the way I could put that together. And we left about, I think I would say 7 and 8 o'clock in the morning. And it happened about 5, 6 o'clock in the evening, and the whole day is like wiped out.
Completely gone.
Yeah, I woke up in San Antonio. It got me to San Antonio 72 hours. From the time injured, in 72 hours, they got me straight to San Antonio. I slept in a long stool real quick, kept going, and then it's like 10, 11 days after I woke up from the coma.
So when you wake up from the coma, what are your first thoughts?
I don't remember a whole lot. I was in ICU. I remember complaining that I couldn't have water. They won't give you any water. But you think, water, they do. Drink water, do push-ups. Because there's no protein in it. So they want you drinking these protein sure shakes. Mm. Like I was, about 210 pounds and when I got injured, but went straight down to like 160 from the injury that quick. And so you're giving all this protein and stuff. I heard horrible stories about me putting nurses in headlocks and trying to escape and everything. I didn't know where I was for that first month.
Really?
The ketamine they keep you on makes you hallucinate. So you have no idea what's going on.
You don't have to tell me about the effects of ketamine.
Yeah. Special K puts you in a real weird headspace.
Right.
It's called a K-hole, and I'm...
A K-hole.
Spent a lot of time there. Yep. Spent an entire summer there.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm sure the nurses and all that stuff are used to it and they're cool with it.
Like. Right. Yeah. It's, and I hear about this stuff later on and tell me what I did. I couldn't see. I had goggles on. My eyelids are burnt so bad. They almost threw away the left eye. They weren't going to keep it.
Oh shit.
They were lucky they were able to save it. But beginning for a year and a half, I had to wear goggles with medicine in my eyes. Mm. So I knew everybody by their voice. I just listened to the radio in the room. People watch TV. I just kind of listen. I could tell you what a doctor or nurse is walking down the hallway by their voice. It was crazy.
Man, when was the first like thought for you that, all right, I can register what happened to me. I know where I am and I'm able to communicate with people and ask what's going on.
Yeah, when they first told me what's happened, it's like, I'm injured. I didn't realize how bad it was. Mm-hmm. I was so out of it. My hand, I had my left hand at the time, it's all in this cast and all this stuff. And stuff on my head, I don't even know what it is. I can't see what it is. I just, I told my wife at the time, I said, hey, babe, when they fix me, I got to go back to selection. Because I tried out for Special Forces 2004. I hurt my back. Then I was going to try out again, started getting in shape, working out better for it. I was going to go back after this deployment. It's like, yeah, I'm just going to fix me. No big deal. I'm going to go try out again. I'm going to go back, do what I do, and do my duties. I had no idea how bad it was.
Did she tell you?
It's like, yeah, she just played along with it. Yeah, yeah, sure. If you feel like it, just let me go on with my little fantasy.
Yeah.
I just didn't realize how bad it really was.
And when did you, do they give you a mirror at some point and they say, hey, here's your new reality. Here's who you are.
When, first time I got up, I'd only trust one nurse and my wife at the time to shave me. So I had to get up one time. She had to go back, get the kids out. They were here stationed in North Carolina still. She had to bring the kids to San Antonio. So I had to get them shave myself for the first time and clean my eyes out where I could see. Like I had to clean all the medicine out and I saw my face. But again, I just thought they're going to fix that. It's going to be back to normal. I didn't realize how bad it was, but luckily it is such a great job. I came out better looking today. I don't know if you've seen pictures of me before.
I haven't actually. <It's>
much better now. At least I got a better excuse, right?
Yeah, so, yeah. And then what's the recovery time for all your injuries?
6 months in the hospital.
Okay.
48 surgeries to date and 3 years total recovery.
Shit.
Because once you get through the surgeries, the skin grafts and stuff like that, I know Crispy's had like 100 skin grafts. I'm 38% of my body. Head was burnt to the skull, but his more, you know, his percentage, I don't know what it was, like 60, 70, 80, some craziness. But it takes so long for those skin grafts to heal and everything. And then it was, do we take off his hand or not? And I'm like, take off my hand. I want to move on. So they waited 2 years, took my hand off. So then you got to wait for that and do all that therapy. So it took 3 years.
Shit. And after the 3 years is up, how do you say to yourself, all right, I'm no longer in the military anymore. I can't obviously do any of that. What do I do with my life at this point?
Yeah, for that first year, it was really, really hard. Survivor's guilt. I felt like a burden to my family. I'm like, I shouldn't be here. Every night I prayed that God would just take me. Like I should just be gone. It'd be easier for my family. They don't have to wait through another surgery if he's going to make that one. I could have got an infection in my head and just done. They wouldn't be able to stop it. Mm-hmm. I could see it's so thin up there and the skull's been shaved. The parts of it that were too bad to regrow stuff on it. It took 18 months just to get skin to grow on my head. So I was out of the hospital with no skin on my head walking around.
Man,
my kids had to take care of me. So I would throw, I would actually literally just go in when my kids went around, you know, I'd go in the bathroom, look in the mirror and just cry or punch clothes and just be angry at everything. Mm. Of course, on a lot of medication at that time too.
Yeah. What was the reaction from your wife and kids?
They were always really supportive.
That's great.
Really, really, really supportive. My wife took care of me. You know, she had to do 8 hours of wound care every day. Also get the kids off to school, and they were 15, 8, and 9 years old. So my oldest daughter stepped up and helped be one of the parents in the house. Got her driver's license early at 15 years old, and she came the first ever military child of the year.
So that's, really?
Yeah, she just did amazing. Just stepped up. Ended up going to college for psychology, which only 4 years, which that can't do a whole lot with. But now works at the Fisher House at San Antonio. Fort Sam.
Really?
So she's still doing the same stuff she did helping me. She started helping other families, and that's why she got the award, because other people would go and need the surgeries. Now, I was, again, you know, I'm older.
Yeah.
The other ones are all younger, and they got babies. Mm-hmm. So she would stay at their house, watch their kids, take the kids to daycare while they go in for another surgery, go to school herself in high school. And this is her fourth high school because of the military moves and the injury and everything. So she went to four different high schools, kept the 3.0 grade point average or higher, got into college. She's an amazing young lady. Very proud of her.
That's amazing, man.
And now today, still helping veterans with the Fisher House Foundation.
That's amazing. So you said you were married. Are you guys not together anymore?
Yeah, we're not married anymore. We tried to work it out. And she was good. She helped me for many years and going through everything. But you're married.
Yeah.
You know, the nagging, the yelling, the questioning.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but I had enough third degree.
Yeah. Like it was... Yes, that one got Dan.
That's just appreciation of my
face. It is.
Right.
You'll never see Dan smile in this life. That is the best reaction you will ever get out of Dan right there. Like, you nailed it.
That was good.
You nailed it.
Thank you.
Who asked for the divorce?
It was mutual.
Okay.
We started talking. It just stopped communicating. It's both sides. We got married at 22 years old. You start to grow apart anyways. There was problems even before the last deployments, you know, the military lifestyle and everything. So she never knew anything about that because, you know, I was out for those 10 years. I got married when I was out and I was a civilian, and then I went back in. So to her and the kids, they didn't know what was going on. They didn't know what to expect.
Gotcha. And I know that might seem like a weird question to the audience. I'll tell you why I ask it. There was a guy, and I'm not going to say his name. He's a friend of yours. We talked about it before we went on air, who is a burn victim as well. He got blown up overseas. This is what he said, no lie. He was like, dude, I got the most pussy I've ever gotten in my life after my accident with all the scars and everything. And he ended up getting divorced, but for different reasons.
Right.
He was just a fucking poon hound after that and was just like, this is amazing. And I've never seen a guy.
No, I always
joke exactly
about
who
that.
I'm talking about.
Right. And I joke around about that because it's happened. Like, once I got divorced, I was, divorced for a couple of years just in my 40s. Trying to figure it out again, dating all over again in my 40s, and that was a lot different,
Yeah.
But it was easy. That's a conversational
piece. That's exactly what he said, yeah.
It's like, I should have burnt myself in high school. Forget the DJ job. I knew I should have played with matches.
Describe that for people, because I was like, man, I wish I had told our friend. I had said, look, I'd love for you to come on and tell these stories. He's like, no, I cannot tell those stories. And I was like, well, dude, I don't think people understand because, you're walking around today, right? And one would assume most girls would be like, oh, man, I'm not that guy. Yeah. It is the opposite. Like,
Well, a lot of times you get people like, pussy. Oh, they feel, do you want to come to our church? They think you're angry or something. It's like, no, fine. I'm going to be okay.
Yeah.
But I think what it is, it's the confidence. You know, I keep burping that Whopper was delicious. but the confidence. Mm-hmm. And again, I had the insecurity at first, but then as I started getting out there and talking to people, I was like, what do I have to hide? I got scars. I got tattoos. I look funny. I'm Freddy Krueger, whatever. You just become more confident about yourself because you can't really hide. It's not like, oh, I'm going to get up if I got to fix my hair right because then I'll look better. Does it matter if I have a zit? No. So
yeah.
I think I stopped worrying and just have more confidence in myself. And I think that's what they're seeing is that confidence.
God, you should write a self-help book that just tells people to set themselves on fire.
Right? Yeah. It's a great
weight loss plan. Half of Hollywood would do it.
Yeah. If you're having trouble dating anyone, here's what you do. Yeah, it's funny.
Yeah, the book of matches is a lot cheaper than that the Kia Coke. You know, it's a lot cheaper. Oh, it's quicker.
Yeah. Or getting a great job and being rich. Like, just burn up. You're good.
Collect insurance.
Now that you said it, I'm thinking back to it. Like, yes, that makes total sense. Like, our friend is the most confident motherfucker on the planet. And yeah, man, he's burned head to toe.
You're out there. Your dignity was gone in the hospital. You know, one time, you come to a bed check because you're laying in the hospital so long to make sure you don't have sores. Mm. So it's an LVN and my sister's sitting there. And I hear the nurse walk in. The RN walks in. I'm in the bathroom. And they're like, Where's Bobby? Oh, he's in the bathroom. By himself? Yay! They all start clapping. Like, he's going to the bathroom by himself for the first time. And then Irene, the nurse, she's like, well, don't come out fully dressed. I got to do med checks, check for sores. You didn't wear nothing but that backward-ass gown and some boxers anyways. Mm-hmm. So I just came out with my boxers around my ankles. Like, is this good enough?
Yeah.
Like, you just don't care anymore. My sister, the LVN, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. And especially at the burn unit at Fort Sam Houston, because that's where they train all the medics. So guess what the medics get to do? They get to come through. You get these 18-year-old kids that get to come through the burn unit, and guess who's going to shower you? Here are these two 18-year-old boys who are going to take you to your shower today. Gee, thanks.
Yeah.
I would do everything I could to make them as uncomfortable as possible.
Dan's just going to burn himself to fuck with people.
Oh, yeah.
I might. I mean, look, everything I have planned in life, including my suicide, is going to be, there's going to be an element of trolling involved. We have a laundry list of different potentialities for me.
Yeah.
Like one of them showing up to a surprise birthday party and all my friends are there. And I'm just like, oh, I'm glad you're all here. Bam, just right in front of everybody.
Surprise! All over the cake, like a white cake.
Yeah. Okay, you got to get
three-tiered white cake and then blood all over
Wedding
it.
Cake.
The Today Show.
The Today Show, I clack off a vest right behind them. Like I'm knocking on the window until they turn around and look at me. And then finally I'm like, boom.
Yeah.
Oh, you got to get on Jeopardy. No, that's not the timer.
That's not the buzzer. Yeah. And at the end, you're just, that's it.
You keep pressing the button, and he's like, sir, relax with the button. I'm like, oh, wrong button. And I pull the one off my vest.
And then you explode all over
Ken Jennings. Trebek's got pancreatic cancer anyway. He's not going to be around that much longer.
No.
Yeah, he'll probably help you out with it.
He might, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I assume that's painful.
Yeah. One would think.
Well, you think so.
Yeah, Trebek's been pretty honest about his shit, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, what are you going to do, though?
And that's just it. What are you going to do?
Sell reverse mortgages, I guess. I don't know.
I know.
Sell reverse mortgage.
Every time I see that commercial, nice. I'm like, hey, man, you're probably the last guy that should be telling you this.
So. Right.
Like a guy who reminds you of impending death.
Yeah, right there.
Probably not the best mortgage.
Don't worry about it. Yeah, you're going to live forever.
Yeah.
Same as me. You're like, no, right. Alec. No,
you'll be dead in 2 weeks, bro.
Yeah, he does not have much time left.
So I guess what we've decided is that Alex Trebek is probably suicidal.
Yep.
Yeah.
So if any
of
you know Alex Trebek, reach out to him, make sure he's doing okay.
No, you know, it's funny. He just did 60 Minutes and
maybe try and cure cancer or something. I don't know.
Yeah. He was just like, you know, I love Jeopardy and I'm going to keep doing it. And that's it. And the wife was the one who was just like, hey man, let's dial it back. Cause they have his replacement. So
yeah,
the guy exists. We'll see what happens. But,
speaking of replacements, Robert Pattinson's playing Batman.
Yes. Yes, he is. You're welcome for that. They're just trying to that whole DC world. Yeah.
What's the angle there exactly?
They want to go younger and they want somebody who's interested in it, and
is it like a prequel kind of story or
no? I think it's just Batman again, you know, with all this shit.
What new story could you tell at this point?
Exactly. And it's like we're on your 90th Batman. I think they want somebody who's interested. Ben Affleck was just not. He saw the first movie. Mm. He really wanted to be Batman and then saw the first movie and was just like, this fucking sucks.
Yeah.
And I want out of this. He was trying everything he could to get out
of
it. Well,
his movie was better than some of the other Batman movies, but there's no appetite for that kind of movie. Like a superhero movie has to be a little bit sad, but mostly campy and everybody wins at the end. But
yeah.
DC is a darker universe than Marvel is.
Yeah.
And I just don't think people like that shit.
Christian Bale was rad.
He was great.
Yeah.
Those movies are really good, I think. A lot of people bitched about Christopher Nolan's depiction. I thought it was really good.
I loved it. I'm not a comic book guy. Shit, we got some sponsors. We just keep rapping, dude. And we get some sponsors to pay for this whole shit wagon to be on the air. First and foremost, ghostbed.com/drinkingbros. 25% off everything in the entire store. Sheets, pillows, mattresses, adjustable bases, you name it, everything is 25% off at ghostbed.com/drinkingbros. And as always, the 36-month pay-as-you-go program, no interest, still works with all of it. Knocks that mattress down to like $20 a month. You can't beat it. It's the finest in the land. Dan and I have had it we've had ghost beds for years and years at this point. Didn't get a 25% off, though. What the fuck?
Not back then, no.
The fuck, bro? It's going on all the way through February. So go to ghostbed.com/drinkingbros today and jump on these deals, dude. They're the best in the biz. Next up, D'Anthony, who we got?
We've got VinceroWatches.com.
VinceroWatches.com. I'm wearing mine now. We've talked about this on the last couple episodes, but yeah. It's amazing. This is the blue steel right now. I'm going to hold this up to camera. If you're not subscribed to Drinking Bros podcast on YouTube, you should be. These are affordable watches that are amazing. Watches and sunglasses are the two things that are the highest markups for products out there. And it's fucking bullshit. There's no reason to charge you $5,000 for a watch. This is the same quality as everything else, and it is affordable, especially if you use the promo code Drinking Bros.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, man. What are we getting, 15% off there?
Yep.
At VinceroWatches.com.
Free shipping as well.
Goddamn right. And this watch is heavy as shit, so free shipping matters.
It does, yeah. It's VinceroWatches.com.
Yes.
VinceroWatches.com.
VinceroWatches.com. Dan, you can get, you've got the rubber gripped one.
I said on a show last week, I think, what the model.
The rose colored model.
Rogue is the name. It's rose gold.
Yours is dope. Mine's the blue steel. I like the fucking metal. Dude, I like to feel like a little tiny king going around.
I don't wear
town.
Metal watches. I wear either this one or a fucking Apple Watch with the silicone band.
Yeah, because you're always prepared to run away from something. You
know? I travel light, if that's what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah, you travel light. I don't. I'm heavy as shit, that's dude. I'm in one spot. Boom. You can find me. You know where to find me.
I've got a gun and a desalinator.
I've got a gift card to Chipotle and a watch from VinceroWatches.com. Use the promo code Drinking Bros for 15% off. Last but not least, Anthony, who is it?
Killcliff.
Goddamn right it is. KillcliffCBD.com.
I'm drinking the pre-workout right now.
You do CBD, Bobby?
I do not.
Really?
I haven't tried it.
No shit.
Yeah.
You can take some cans with you, man.
There we go.
Killcliff CBD has got 25 milligrams of CBD in it.
Yeah, that's good.
And you will not test positive for it. We have 80% of our audience is military and first responder. By the way, thanks for listening. We're up over 8 million listeners now a month, which is nice. Fucking insane.
Somebody actually DM'd me yesterday and asked me, they're like, hey, I just bought a case of this. I'm not going to piss hot for this, am I?
No, you won't. You won't. And we actually have the guys from Killcliff on, I think the week after next, to talk about it. Killcliffcbd.com is the best in the biz. Promo code Drinking Bros gets you 20% off and free shipping. Knocks that case down to like, knocks a can down to like $380, $390 a can, which is cheaper than a can of Monster and all that other bullshit, except you get 25 milligrams of CBD in it. It tastes amazing. And it's only got like 15 calories, no carbs, no sugars. It's awesome, man. And for drinking on a Saturday, mix that with vodka and then just enjoy your life. When we were at the Army-Navy game, they had a full bar and they were making Killcliff CBD with vodka. That bar was packed. It was absolutely packed.
It's giving me some great ideas for tonight.
Goddamn right. Go to killcliffcbd.com. Use the promo code Drinking Bros, 20% off. Did they give you an award or anything? Like, what happens when you have injuries like this? Do they give you something?
I mean, you know, the good old Purple Heart. But then there was nothing. I didn't do anything spectacular. We rolled over a bomb, got blown up.
Yeah, I was.
I messed up on the job, and now I'm an inspiration.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how it works in America.
And that's what exactly. That's what I was kind of alluding to, where everybody on the show, like we had Dakota Meyer on last week.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was saying, look, the Medal of Honor is not what you think it is to me. Like, it's a burden, and I feel a lot of guilt and a lot of shame for it because all my friends died. And I would imagine with you and the Purple Heart, it's probably the same thing where you're like, man, I was the only one that lived.
Yeah,
in that car.
There's a lot of guilt with having good things in life, having a good life. I have a good life now. And it took me a while to really get used to that and to deal with it. And there's times you still go back and you think about why I don't deserve this. I shouldn't have this. I should be dead, all that stuff. But like I remind myself and I like remind, you know, other guys and gals that have been out there, lost friends and colleagues and stuff, is just think about it. If you were the one that didn't make it home, what would you want for the ones that did? Of course, you don't want to die in vain. You want them to live their life to the fullest and chase their dreams. And that American dream you just fought for, go ahead and go out there and make a difference. Keep going. Keep serving.
Yeah, man, it's tough. And again, after talking to Dakota and Crispy and, you know, everybody else who's been on the show, like your outlook is unbelievably positive when, you know, to most people, again, like you were saying, like, they look at you like, oh, are you okay?
Right.
Do you need anything?
And that's what kind of woke me up in the beginning. It's like, well, what can I do? After that first year of praying to God to die every night, I started getting my independence back and everything like that. So I was like, okay, now why am I here then? Is there a reason I'm here? What am I supposed to do now? Everybody kept saying, be patient. And it was just shortly after that where I started looking at the brighter side and saying, all right, at least I'm here to see my children grow up. Someday I'm going to get to hold my grandchildren. That's enough for me right there. You know, that's all I really need. But that did a story. They came to the hospital to see how we were being treated. NPR did it because that all the stuff with Walter Reed was going on and, oh, they're being mistreated. And that was just an old hospital that wasn't ready for that many injuries, really, as I believe that was. So they came to San Antonio to see how we were being treated. I was being positive, like, hey, yeah, I got burned. You know, I finally turned that leaf in that corner. And then they posted that story on NPR, and I was checking it out, and I saw people's comments. They said they couldn't fathom going through something like that and coming out positive on the other end.
Yeah.
And so that's when I, okay. So if I keep chasing my dreams, if I keep being positive, and that's an example for my children, but also for other people, I can be a reminder of how bad life really can be. And we all need reminders. I've learned that over the years for sure. Sometimes I'm the reminder. Sometimes I need to be reminded.
Yeah.
You know, and a great example, Crispy. First, his start with his toes, then his foot, then the rest of his leg. And if you look at his hands, my one good hand is better than both his hands.
Yeah.
But does it stop him? No, he's out there hunting, gutting, fishing. I mean, he does everything.
Oh, dude.
He figures out a way to do it.
Killing gators, for Christ's sakes. Like, he's always inviting me gator hunting, you know?
Yeah.
That Crispy lives life to the fullest at all times.
Exactly. And that's the best way you can live for the ones that we lost. To honor and respect them is to live your life to the fullest.
Yeah. What was the decision to get into comedy? When did that come?
Comedy started because, I mean, obviously we all have a dark sense of humor. Mm-hmm. not at all as dark as Dan's, but.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, you don't want to touch it. You'll have to wash your hands afterwards.
A whole nother therapy session after that.
Yeah.
But
my therapists all keep killing themselves, and I don't know why. I don't think it's
There's a link here somewhere.
I don't think it's me.
The serial killer patient. There's a whole story.
I'm not a serial killer.
Per se, on purpose.
Not yet. Purpose. No, I'm a principled sociopath. It's not the same thing.
Okay. Describe the description. Like, I want to know
a little
now.
More detail. Yeah. On
a principal sociopath doesn't experience any kind of emotional attachment to the rules or the rule of law or social stuff at all, but they understand the need for it and act accordingly. You understand?
Sure.
Yes.
That's it. So okay. A principal sociopath is someone that
I've been watching Dexter.
That's yeah, he's playing, that's right? That's a decent,
I just finally caught on to that show.
Obviously, that's a crazy example of it, but right. That is an example of what it might look like in real life.
But how he tries to rules, he has to act like he understands what a friendship is. And
sure. Yeah. Have you finished Dexter?
No, I'm only three seasons. I'm on third season right now. I really just started. I binged the two seasons.
Do you want me to save you?
I got about another season.
Have you heard?
No.
How it ends?
I know. I don't know anything.
Oof. So here's the Dexter debate we always have whenever somebody brings up Dexter on the show. And when I say debate, I mean debate amongst friends of whether how close you feel to someone to tell them, do not waste the rest of your time on that show.
I'm going to watch the rest of it. I think I stopped at the end of season 4. I'm going to watch the rest of it tonight because I don't give a shit if it's good or not.
Well, here's the thing. So Dexter is great, right?
Well,
it had the worst finale, and this is voted on universally across the board. It is the worst finale to tie up a show in the history of TV.
I thought it was 8 Simple Rules to Dating My Teenage Daughter.
Well, which one was that? What was the ending of that?
It's the one where fucking homeboy from Three's Company dies or whatever the fuck.
Well, they replaced him. So the show kept going.
Yeah, it sucked after that.
Yeah, but that wasn't the end. This was the end.
No, the end sucked because he died.
Yeah, but he didn't die at the end of the show.
No, that should have been the end of the
show. It should have, but it wasn't. Same with Dexter. Dexter should have stopped at a certain point and didn't. It kept going. And then the way they wrapped it up, you were like, fuck you. And I felt that way about How I Met Your Mother as well, where I was just like, come on.
How do you wrap that up? I mean, I know you've seen it, but how do you wrap that up?
Dexter's
I think Dexter has to die. Right?
He has to die or go to prison forever.
Yeah.
One of those two things.
Yeah.
I think he's got to go to prison because maybe he'll come back.
Yeah.
Give it a go, Z.
I will. I'm going to be so high this weekend. I probably won't.
Yeah.
I won't know what's going
give
on.
Give it
anyways.
A go and let me know.
I'm going to order a couple of pizzas. By the way, Papa John, you fucking lying piece of shit.
What?
He said he was going to eat 40 pizzas in 30 days, and then he amended his statement after the fact because people were calling him out. He goes, actually, I just had pizza for 40 or 30 straight days. I had 40 pizzas for 30 straight days.
Yeah.
Like, I ate some of each pizza, 40 of them. You took what? You ate 2 slices of pizza a day, bitch.
That's it.
I eat that every single day.
Yeah.
Of my life.
That's
even if I don't need it.
The Papa's a piece of shit.
He is a human fucking piece of garbage.
That's why it's like audible, right?
Yeah.
Papa John, it's audible. You gotta change.
Can you imagine like building a huge estate and then deciding to put a moat around it? Honestly. What do you got? Fucking gators?
That's what happens to people.
Or
that's
fucking like Mongolians are trying to storm the Great Wall there. You got to build a fucking moat, you piece of shit.
Yeah, like when you look back at your injuries and everything, do you ever look in the mirror and say, why didn't this happen to Papa John?
Right.
Why didn't it happen to that piece of shit?
Son of a burn.
Yeah.
No, because then he would have got laid.
It's, you can't wait.
Pizza guy doesn't get laid, does he?
Yes, he does.
I mean, he's a billionaire.
Billionaire,
so.
And like they've got him.
Without paying for it, though.
So here's
what difference does that make?
Oh, you pay for it one way or another, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
You paid for it dearly.
They've caught him fucking 17 year olds, offering 17 year olds coke.
Which state?
Utah.
It's legal, brother.
Is it?
Yeah.
That's funny. So some
let me check on that before. Yeah. I don't want to be
the coke or the 17-year-old. Which one's legal?
Dan's high as shit, and he's just giving out.
No, I don't want anybody. Yes,
aren't true.
It's age 17 or younger or not.
Some dude just jumped his car
is,
and goes to high school
it's
right
18
now.
In Utah.
There it is. So
wait a year.
We've heard some from a bunch of. First responders. I'm not going to say what it is. Who have said, "Hey, man." The Papa was popped in Utah numerous times for this, and
must be the EMT guys.
He magically got his way out of it.
Look, there's no body in this room that hasn't offered cocaine to a 17-year-old in exchange for sex.
But not at 40.
You're doing math now, and math comes from China, and they're all dying. So I don't really give a shit.
All right. Well, they were multiplying too much, so we had to figure out a way to knock down the numbers.
Yeah. Are you telling any coronavirus jokes in your set right
now? No, I don't have any coronavirus. I was
just walk out on stage and say, you've got it, and this is what it looks like.
By the way, I'm contagious.
And then you just spit up.
Running down the audience.
Yeah. How long have you been doing stand-up comedy?
10 years now.
Shit, really?
I got talked into by my occupational therapist. When I chopped off my hand, we started doing all the therapy with all the prosthetic arms and stuff. We joked around about it. You know, like I said, we had that 6-inch humor. So I would joke around to other guys. It's how I dealt with all the pain with the therapy and everything.
Yeah.
Like one guy was walking for the first time, blowing up, both legs gone above the knee. Walks for the first time, you know, holding on the bars. That's like 7 steps. His family's there. We're all there. It's like, yeah, this is awesome, you know? And they're like, well, how do you feel? And he said, well, half of me feels like, bro, you can't say that anymore. Technically, that's like all of you. That's like me saying, on the other hand.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's doing those stupid jokes like that. Yeah. She's like, you got to do comedy. You got to do it. So 10 years ago, I went to prove her wrong. I was in L.A., so went out to see a doctor out there at UCLA for Operation Men that helps the wounded guys.
Oh, yeah.
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 So I was going to my consultation for that, and she's like, you got to try stand-up comedy. You're going out there. You got to do it. So I pinky swore with her that I would try it.
With which hand?
With my giant pinky.
The giant pinky hand.
That's what that is. So you feel real classy, just hold that thing in the air and then sip the tea with the other hand.
Yes. It's very fancy.
Pinky's a little bit bigger than yours. I don't know if you noticed.
With the tinted windows, right? If you pull up at a stoplight and you slowly roll down, like there's some chick sitting next to me in a car, and I roll that window down real slow, and they slowly, the window comes out. That's all they see in my face.
That's really funny.
Pull over!
You should do that to cops. You should get like a fake cell phone and just like tape it to your fucking nub. And then when they try to pull you over, just throw it down on the ground and be like, yeah, I definitely wasn't holding a phone, officer. Yeah.
I could leave it there and it's hands free. Like, it doesn't matter. Kiss my ass.
Especially in California, they pull you over for that all the time.
Oh, yeah.
I would even at stoplights. They don't care. You're not even driving. They can stop like you're in your car. Like,
yeah.
Yep.
Behind the wheel.
Bunch of bitches. Let me ask a question that everybody really wants an answer to.
Yes, the carpet matches the drapes.
Is important as well. But more important than that, have you used that thing as a sex toy yet?
There has been offers, but I have not gone there because that scares me. I mean, what use am I going to be after that?
We asked Derek White this.
You still got the thing.
Yeah, we asked Derek White too. And I was like, hey, man, have you ever.
His nub's too big, though.
It's too big. But there is girls who have asked for that.
Yes. I mean, I went to a strip club one time. She just grabs it and shoves it up against it. And I was like, okay.
I mean, it's not going to do much for you.
Like,
except for give you herpes. But,
right.
You know.
How do I follow? I mean, I got small, medium, and large now.
Yeah.
I got to go in reverse order. You know,
I think at this point in your life, you should do it. You should go all in.
Because that's really not, that's not cheating.
No. It's just like, her pussy fell down on my nub. There's nothing I can do about it.
You could just spin her like a fucking basketball.
They call me Nubalicious.
Yeah. I think that would be a nice.
Maybe t-shirts like
a nice gift.
Notorious NUB.
Ah,
like
great.
A little stripper pole on it. It's
that's not a bad
idea. There's something there.
We're recording on Valentine's Day, too.
Yeah, it's Valentine's Day.
Yeah. I nub you. I'm sure you've gotten that a lot.
Yes. Yeah. Nub you. We do that. It's definitely a thing.
Of course.
Always. What is, you know, once you go cooked, you're hooked, is what I tell the ladies.
Oh, shit. Yeah. All right. Yeah. I like that.
Things that rhyme are true.
It's true.
It is.
A lot of people don't know that about the English language.
A lot of people don't know that.
Even if it's not true prior to that.
It now becomes true. Like the word selfie becomes a word.
Yeah, that's...
That's genuinely how it is these days.
What are you going to do?
True.
It is. What was the first comedy club you did in L.A.?
Comedy Store.
No shit.
It's open mic, you know. So
that's still like the biggest place you can do comedy in Los Angeles. How nervous were you?
Well, that's the thing. Everybody always asks that. It's wherever I go, I get stared at. It's quiet, and I can walk through Walmart, and people are just staring at me. It's quiet. If I bombed on stage, first of all, it wouldn't be the worst bomb I've ever been through.
Nailed it.
Two, it's quiet and people are staring at me. So it's just like it's nothing different.
Yeah.
So I really didn't have anything to lose. So I went up there, except for another hand. I pulled that one too far from the barrel. Dan did not approve. But I went, you know, done comedy before, you know, you get that little light in the back of the room. They give you 3 minutes, there's open mic, and the light comes on, you got a minute left. And so I did 2 minutes of material that I'd written, but I didn't write about being wounded. I didn't want to tell him I'm a veteran. I just told him it was a rare birth defect was my joke, because the first one I wrote.
That's funny.
That my mother had to work in the circus through her pregnancy as a fire eater. And that's how I got burnt, you know? So I do that joke off of that, is the first thing I wrote. But I only had 2 minutes worth of jokes, and the light came on. I was like, what do I do now? But in ninth grade, I wrote a rap about being constipated.
Uh-huh.
So then I just luckily remembered that, and that filled in another 30 seconds that I walked off the stage with nobody laughing.
So you go up and essentially bomb.
Yes.
Yeah, your first time up.
But what I found out was at these open mics, they're all other comedians waiting for their turn. So they don't care. They're either analyzing your joke, going, where's he going with this? What would I say? Or they're working on their material. So they're not even really listening. But one of them gave me a compliment afterwards. She said, I like the part you said about this acid reflux. And I said, oh, okay. I didn't realize that was a joke. It's a little thing I added at the end. Went back to San Antonio, and it was good for me. It felt good just to get it out and make fun of it and laugh and do that. So I started going to open mic 3 nights a week.
At LOL or something?
Yeah, before LOL was open. It was the River Center Comedy Club. Same owners ended up opening LOL later on, So that's where I just started doing 3 nights a week. And next thing you know, they're like, hey, do you want to host this show? Do you want to do this? And the comedy just started growing.
That's amazing. How fast for you were doing longer sets?
It was probably a couple years. It was 2 years later when I got asked to do Comedy Warriors. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen that. It's five wounded combat vets that are doing stand-up comedy. Now, the other four veterans had never tried it. When that blast came out, I think Wounded Warrior put it out and said, hey, does anybody want to be a comic? And I've already been doing it 2 years. It's like, shit, I need all the help I get. So I signed up for that, got picked. So I think that was my longest. When I started doing that, I'm doing 10, 15 minutes. So that was the first time I did 10 minutes. I was so nervous. Like, that's
sure. It's a lot of time to fill, and it doesn't sound like it.
No.
So when people are like, 10 minutes, you're like, great. No big deal. When you're up there, 10 minutes is a long time.
Just trying to write the 3 to 5 minutes, trying to come up with new materials, like, always a pain.
Yeah.
And then it was a lot easier because you were just, everything was new. And then now it's like, I'm doing this and doing that. I got to go here, and I got time to sit down and write and try to think new stuff. I'm always putting stuff on my phone. Like, today I was driving here and stuff pops in my head when it's not convenient. That's when stuff pops in your head.
Of course. Yeah.
So I'm driving down the road. I can't text and drive. So I just didn't speak things. So I just put some notes in there. It's like, and since I was driving here today, I did my fiance's older. She's 11 years older than me. So I talk about dating.
Whoa. 11 years?
11 years.
You're 49?
Yeah. I'll be 49. She's going to be 60 in April. Her birthday is the same day as my live day.
No shit.
Yeah. That's how we started working together. She was the CEO of a mental health company in Kentucky.
Okay.
So she hired me to come speak at one of her conventions. And so that's how I met her. And she said, well, I don't know if you want to work with me or not, but I can help you with the business side of everything. She was already helping another speaker. So I found out her birthday is the same day as my live day. So we're supposed to work together. So we start working together. She traveled with me. We've met other veterans that had the same problem. The problem is I didn't know how to ask for money. I didn't know how to do the business side of it. It's like, I just want to make a difference. So we started a military speakers bureau called Bravo 748. You know, we have all veteran speakers. So we do the business side. Well, she does. She does all the work. I'm just a pretty face.
Yeah.
But she retired from her other job, and she just does the speakers bureau now. And then just the bookings. We got Tig from Benghazi. You know, John Tegan's one of our speakers. Nate Boyer is one of our speakers.
Oh, shit. We know Nate. So, Nate was in Range 15 as well.
Yeah. So we got a lot of these speakers. They wanted to speak, and they come out, and you know, they got other bureaus too, but we're one of them. But we're the only all veteran speakers bureau.
That's amazing.
So try to help them with that part of it.
And now you're traveling from town to town, so you're doing stand-up here, right?
I'm doing stand-up here tomorrow at Allen Hall with Skippy and Joe Cashnow, also from Comedy Warriors.
That's a big hall.
I just stopped by today.
It's crazy,
check
right?
it out. Yeah, I took a little picture of the poster. Like, oh, look
at
that cool.
The one on UNCW's campus?
The courthouse.
Downtown.
Oh, okay.
Backside of the courthouse. Yeah. Isn't it, right?
Yeah, it's huge.
Yeah.
That's a big spot.
So it's going to be fun, exciting. Yeah, I did a tour with Joe Skippy, and I did a tour in Colorado last October. So that was fun. I just touring all around Colorado doing some shows together.
That's great.
Doing a lot of motivational speaking stuff. Keep busy with that. Matter of fact, 28th, 29th, and the 1st of March, I'll be in Fayetteville.
Oh, shit.
All-American Tattoo Convention.
Hell yeah.
Found out it's the largest tattoo convention, or third largest in the States. And that makes sense for Bragg.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
They invited me out. I have a nonprofit now called Forging Forward. And it's my nonprofit is going to take, we're building it, it's still new, but we want to do retreats with veterans, first responders, and Gold Star families to teach them outlets. Because that's what I learned. What helped me? The comedy helped me. Writing poetry helped me because it all came true when I made it rhyme.
Yeah, exactly. Just like Dan says.
But all those things, whether it's fishing, learning something to do, take those demons we talk about and craft it into something. So I want to teach them how to forge, the introduction to welding, how to paint. You know, Derek Wyda, he does a lot of painting.
Yep.
You know, so I would love to like, bring Derek out, teach some other veterans how to paint. You know, just get that outlet and that camaraderie together and give them something so when they're alone, that they can turn to that outlet and say, all right, I'm feeling this right now. That I have no one else to call right now. I can feel alone. Let me just express myself this way and get it out. Because that's what's helped me over the years. So I want to show them that, teach them that.
That's great. Derek's an excellent painter, by the way.
He is. Yeah, he's very good.
Yeah.
He's always been an artist. I mean, even back in the day when he was like 19 years old, he was always drawing shit with a Sharpie. But it wasn't really like... It was emo shit.
Yeah. Now he's painting six packs abs on himself. Is that real, right?
No, they're real.
Damn it. Yeah.
It's crazy too, man. Because every time we get
He's always been a stud since he was a child. Since he was like 18, since I met him.
Yeah, like he has the babies. He relaxed for a little bit. He's like, all right, time to get back in shape. It's like a week later, they're back. Yeah.
That's what it feels like.
Right.
Yeah. And whenever we're together, we house like 80 beers. And I'm like, dude, how do you have a six pack still?
Like, because he works out 4 goddamn hours a day. That's how.
I guess, man, but
it's still a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's a lot.
It's crazy. Now's the point in the show where we get to the drinking bro of the week, which is somebody who's inspired you or helped you along the way to get you where you are in this life. It can be a man or a woman. Who is someone who has been an inspirational figure in your life?
My godmother, great aunt godmother, Aunt Marie. She had a tumor when she was younger. I mean, she looked like a Marilyn Monroe, just beautiful. And young age in her 20s, she got married, had a tumor. It deformed her face. She had to put drops in her eyes. Her mouth hung open. So like at Thanksgiving, no one wanted to sit by her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was that like, the kids, you know, we were kind of creeped out about it. But she just kept going in public, kept going to church, just being her. Like to her, it was just normal. And I didn't realize it back then, how it would affect me later, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But when I got injured, here she is, my godmother, and then I turn out, I need drops in my eyes. I can't close my mouth. Like, I resemble her a lot in ways with those deformities. And while I was healing, she passed away. I never got a chance to go tell her how she's helped me through my recovery in the beginning. I was just gotten out of the hospital. I still was active duty. I had to put in for leave. She got sick, and I got there the day after she passed to be there for her services. But I really wanted to tell her in the hospital, just like, you're going to help me through this. I know because you've been strong all these years, I'm going to be able to do this.
Man, what a crazy story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's amazing. Cheers. Cheers. Last question, I guess. Somebody, you've had to have been approached for somebody to make a movie about your life, I would imagine, right?
There's been talks about books and stories, and so it's all in play and thinking about it. I'm kind of lazy.
Yeah.
I do want to put together a poetry book. I've probably got like 40 poems that I want to put together. I got 20 of them picked aside right now, kind of a table book just to motivate people, so inspire them some with photos that go along with it. Light, love, and demons. I want to talk about the light, that my faith that guided me when I got injured. I used to be atheist, saw a whole new light, whole new meaning. Talk about the demons that I go through and battle and write about, and talk about those dirty sex things we think about every day too, being submissive and taking Caitlyn Jenner, whatever we got to do.
Yeah, of course.
Look, we're not right there.
Oh. Trying to bang her. I just want to see it.
Oh.
Yeah, he just wants to see it.
Well, that's the first step.
Yeah, and then after that is...
You don't know what's going to
happen. It's a slippery slope, although she can't self-lubricate.
Yeah.
So it's not that slippery.
It's not, yeah, obviously.
That's called comedy.
Obviously. What? Let me ask you. What's the if your buddy came up and said I fucked her, right?
I don't care. About
does
that.
He win? No. But does he win?
Win what?
What are we winning?
Like you can't top that. I think
as a fucked up story. I mean, because of the confluence of the weirdness of the situation plus the level of fame, I don't think you could beat that story unless you drugged and raped Bill Cosby.
Ah,
then it would be like oof.
Yeah, you might win.
You did it with pudding, too. You slipped some of the pudding.
Just dump Jell-O on his back after you're done.
Oh, God. You just throw a pudding pop on his back. You lick it once. You lick it once so it sticks.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing like that stick to a skin, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know exactly what that feels like.
You know what that feels like on your back.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of...
tight quarters.
Of... yeah, that too. Speaking of shitbags, you see that Michael Avenatti got... he's convicted on all charges.
I haven't. Is that breaking news right now?
Yeah.
No shit. No.
That's the porn lawyer, by the way, that tried to blackmail Nike, and he got lit the fuck up. He's going
to
do some
serious
jail time.
Blackmail Trump, too.
I don't know what the one with, I don't know the details of the one with Trump, but the one with the Nike was like, he was trying to get a $15 million check.
Yes. And it was for, and he was going to expose some story. And,
yeah, nonsense.
And that never happened. Also next week, they will probably more than likely have a verdict in the Harvey Weinstein trial.
I'm fine.
Most
people forgot about it, right?
It seems like it.
I don't understand why he
closing
stayed.
Arguments today.
I don't know why he stayed in America to deal with this. I would have fucking bailed and went to Panama or some shit. I mean, look, try not to be a rapist, but if you're a rapist and you've got $500 million, get the fuck out of town,
bro. Here's what he said, his exact words. He goes, I have a great lawyer, and I think everything will be fine. So he hired this woman. She's a powerhouse attorney. This is female.
I think he's been on the mountaintop for a little too long.
That's what I think, too.
Yeah.
That's what I think, too. We'll find out next week.
This is not the time to try to be a tough guy.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Bobby, where can everybody find you on social media and all that stuff?
Bobby Henline. You know, Instagram, Facebook, all that stuff. Bobby Henline. Check out Forging Forward, the new nonprofit. Forgingforward.org. If you haven't seen this great movie, it's on Amazon called Man's Best Friend. Mm. I play a Marine in that, Marine Gunny. It's pretty good. It's a film about a Marine comes back, has a lot of trouble, and you'll see what he dealt with, how he dealt with the TBI and the PTSD. And it's a really good, it's a kind of a tearjerker one, but I think a lot of people relate to it.
And you were in Shameless.
I was in Shameless, yes.
Yeah.
I got to do one episode. I got to play Pyro Polly.
I remember that.
Yeah, I mean, watching Frank describe me, using some of my lines about having an ass face and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I was just cracking up. It was great to see. I got one small part. I get to say yes. Actually, I said yes and all right. I was supposed to be nervous.
At least you had lines.
Yeah.
Sometimes they cut your lines.
Well, the funny thing is I didn't have lines to begin with. She was just supposed to, you know, Fiona's going to come up to me, hey, Pyro Polly, and I just look at her, and she's like, okay, I need you for this or that, and kind of that's it. And the director's like, well, you could say something if you want. I'm like, I wasn't about to piss anybody else off, right? You
know, yeah.
I'm just a little man here, like, I'm gratified.
What if you started
job.
Quoting, like, Shakespeare in the Park or something like that? You know, like, excuse me, sir, or like Michael Scott did that one time, recite an entire episode of Law & Order.
Dung, dung.
Did we get charged for making that noise? I don't know.
Probably. They're probably going to bill us. Ching. It would be great if you would have told Emmy Rossum, who's won like multiple Golden Globes, I don't think you were doing that correctly.
Right.
I really didn't feel that.
I didn't feel that.
You should really try another one.
I'll talk if it comes out more natural. Then I'll give you some lines. Like, but they told me, my character has been out of prison for 1 year, and I'm trying to go right working this little Jiffy Mart thing, and you're nervous because the only people that know your name, Pyro Polly, are crooks and cops. So you're nervous when she comes up and asks. I'm like, okay, I'll go from there. I'm nervous anyway, so this is easy.
Oh, that's awesome. Look, man, you're an inspiring dude. Unbelievably grateful you stopped by to do the show. Check him out if he comes near a city near you, and follow Bobby Henline on social media. Thanks for being here, man. Oh, I appreciate it. For D'Anthony Holloway, Bobby Henline, I'm Ross Patterson. We're the Drinking Bros. Good night, everyone.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as 1 day.
With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.